talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Are you done?
Yes.
Can I say something?
Go on.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
A little bit of Kevin in my life, a little bit of Dean wiping my ass, a little bit of Lisa in my pants, a little bit of Ralph talking his a little bit of beer mug getting fired. Actually, a lot of that happening.
It's insensitive. It's just wrong. And that was wrong. And that won't happen again on my watch. And I'm sorry.
Thanks, Kevin Bean. Fire beer mug.
You'll all get yours in hell, you lying, thieving... blanking blankers.
Oh, I see. You all want to blame the brothers.
And now.
Medicine doesn't have words to describe how horrific your illness is. I've never seen it before, but, well, try to imagine if syphilis did it with cancer and got full-blown AIDS.
Our feature presentation.
That sounds bad.
That sounds sick.
That does not sound good.
That's not what you want right there.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Monday morning.
Lisa, how'd it go with you and the chimpanzees this weekend?
Oh, my God. They had this baby squirrel monkey at the Wildlife Learning Center, and I got to feed it, and it peed on me like 5 times.
All right.
Because that's what they do. It was the cutest. And they had a bald eagle they had just gotten from Anchorage. It was like 18 months old.
Wow.
That had been injured, and it had been in Anchorage for like a year, and it needed a place to live because it's never going to be able to fly again. So it was in the trailer where the office is on this like thick branch, and there was a TV in front of it and a couch behind it. And I was like, this is the life.
Wow. I want that life.
They're just trying to get it used to people and stuff before they start working with it.
You had a monkey pee on you 5 times.
Yeah.
After four, don't you go?
Just a little bit.
I'm gonna give it up.
Just a little bit. It means
really?
It likes
just a little
you.
Bit is
yeah.
good?
Yeah.
How come when I wanted to pee on you, that was a big NO all of a sudden?
You got to be as cute as that little monkey. It was it was great. It was a great day.
I can't compete with
that. Thanks to the K-Rock listeners who came out.
Did they show up? Did people come out?
People came out.
Oh, good.
They love the animals.
They love the animals peeing on you.
Yes, they love that too. Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't pee on the animal based on what I know about you.
Well played, Bean.
All right. Here's my favorite story this morning. This is the headline is Topless Robbery.
All right.
Topless robbery. St. Paul, Minnesota woman sentenced to 4 years in prison. Now, apparently, here was the deal. She is Deborah Ann McCoy, 45 years old, of St. Paul. She and another woman, Janet Hall, 31, of Minneapolis, they were the ones who lure the victims into the alley. So they would stand on the street and they would say, hey, baby, you want to see some of this? And they'd lift up their tops and the guys would go, hells yeah, sign me up for that. So they'd lead him into the alley and then their two accomplices would beat the crap out of them and steal all their money.
They should get the crap beaten out of them for saying hells yeah.
Well, I don't know. That's not a quote.
Okay.
Paraphrasing here. Deborah McCoy, she pleaded guilty to abetting and abetting first degree robbery and has been ordered to 4 years in prison.
Wow.
Well, people are getting the crap beat out of them. I mean,
right, but all she did was lift up her top and walk. She didn't hold a gun to anyone. She didn't hit anybody.
She lured them in. I mean, let's be honest.
4 years in prison for showing your boobs, though, just to get a guy in an alley? I don't know. It just that seems like a lot compared to a lot of sentences, you know? She's also been ordered to pay $1,323.86 in restitution, turns out. Curiously, by the way, charges against the two male defendants, the ones who did the robbing, have been dropped after a jury deadlocked on them. And we haven't heard what happened to the other woman yet, the 31-year-old. I don't know whether her case has come up yet or not, but one of them's in jail for 4 years. The two men are free, and we'll find out what happens to the other one. But that's they sat around one night drinking, and they're going, I got it. And they came up with that plan.
Pretty brilliant plan, by the way.
It's not a bad plan.
Yeah.
Especially in St. Paul, where you got to figure that does not happen often.
That's true.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect so either. I mean, there's no way for me to tell, but would it be that difficult? Would it be hard to find somebody who would follow you into the alley if you show your boobs?
No.
No. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Because I would think, a lot of guys think with their penises, so maybe they make bad decisions, but I would think this looks suspicious. This is too good to be true. So why is she luring me to the alley for reals?
Right.
You know?
You would think that, and then you would go into the alley.
And then you would follow her because you would go, boobs.
Right.
That's it.
Yes, this could be a setup. This could be very dangerous, but wait, boobs.
Giant size cans.
Yeah, well, it's hard to tell in this photo in her orange jumpsuit. But there's nothing about what I see from this woman that would make me want to see more of her.
Ah.
But apparently it was enough. Apparently got the job done. So congratulations.
In St. Paul, Minneapolis area, she's probably a 10.
Yeah, people are covered up there like 10 of months course. Out of the year, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but not now. Not now. And by the way, there are some unbelievably hot chicks in Minnesota.
Oh, I'm sure there are. Hot. They're just not showing you their stuff.
Not this one, though.
No. The ones that show you their stuff are not the ones you want to show you their stuff.
That's always the way.
In general. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
Andrew Siciliano will be on the program today.
Yes.
Oh, talking to talk about.
NFL.
What about the Raiders, by the way, who I feel like I haven't done a very good job of making fun of them this year.
You really haven't hated much.
Yeah. I mean, I still hate. I just have been hating privately. But they found a whole new way to lose yesterday. Well done.
They're amazing at that. Some teams really just excel in certain areas. And for them, it's snatching defeat from the jaws of victory.
Exactly.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Okay.
Be on the program today. J.D. Pardo from Revolution. Plays Nate.
Yes.
We're going to talk to him today about that particular show, which is great. Bean's going to play for us the worst audio in the world, according to science.
Yes.
They did a scientific survey where they checked, I don't know, did they just...
Is this sounds?
Yeah, sounds.
Yes. 74 different sounds that were ranked from the most pleasing to the least.
Wow.
And they think they have figured out what the common denominator is on the sounds that are among the worst. And I don't want to give too much away, but I will tell you that nails on a chalkboard, not number one, but it is top five.
Yeah, that immediately came to mind.
That is the sound, and that's become the cliche of what you say when you're talking about how annoying something is nails on a chalkboard. Believe it or not, there are worse sounds than nails on a chalkboard.
Can I guess just in the top five just right now?
Sure.
Okay. That in there?
Number 11.
Oh, okay. You lost a body part in a funny way.
In a funny way.
Yes.
Remember that part.
We're going to take your calls today. And we've got a brand new Wheel of Bad Animal Voices on the way, too.
Good.
So we will take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Got a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame, Luke Robitaille, stopping by. Oh, I don't know. The Stanley Cup coming up right after the top of the hour here on the world famous Derek Kimbrough, Garmin.
Luke Robitaille. Stanley Cup hockey, you know.
His English is very good.
His English is very good.
Very good, yes.
Who stole our maple syrup?
Hey, Ralph, I thought about it yesterday. Did you watch Dexter last night? Did you see Dexter?
No, I had a crazy, crazy day yesterday. So
I know. And there's too goddamn much TV on Sunday to watch
it's
all
tough.
Anyway. But your girlfriend, Yvonne Strahovski, is the new love interest for Dexter this season, and she made her debut last night. And could she be any prettier than she is?
She's
ridiculous.
She's the ex-girlfriend of Bus Pizza.
Of Bus Pizza?
Yeah. The prisoner who was on a helping them find lost bodies.
Yes.
He was a murderer who was lost bodies, and he decided just to go for a creamy cone across the road there.
Right.
But
spoiler alert.
Yeah, right. Spoiler alert.
Anyway, so she's on the show, and I know how much you loved her from Chuck. I wanted to make sure you were watching because it looks like it's going to be a pretty juicy storyline because she and Dexter have that instant attraction like they do.
Sure.
So, well, good times.
You know how
good
it is.
Times indeed.
Killers attract killers.
That's right.
Sure.
That's right.
Yeah. 5:54. It's Monday. Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office since it is Monday. That's what we do. Taken 2. Once again, the number one movie of the weekend, taking in another additional $22.5 million this week. Argo, in its debut, came in at number two with $20.1 million. Pretty good opening weekend for Argo.
Everybody see that?
Everybody see it?
I did not. No.
Oh, it's awesome.
Dying to.
It's
heard.
Great.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Raves. Nothing but raves on that one.
Sinister was third at the box office with $18.3 million. Hotel Transylvania in 3D was fourth. Here comes the boom. See, because he's a teacher and He wants to save the music program, so he becomes an MMA fighter, because that's the easiest way to raise money. How about a bake sale, you fat bastard? Something I believe you'd be involved in. I can see you with a tray of brownies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Made $12 million in its debut. Pitch Perfect was sixth. Frank and Weenie Looper was eighth. Seven Psychopaths came in at number nine in its debut. And then The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Rounding out your top 10. Hey, it may not be the end of television as we know it after all.
Really?
There may be hope for television.
We've had about 2 weeks straight of the end of television.
There may be some people in television who have some modicum of taste, talent, and wisdom.
Right.
NBC announced today that it has decided to cancel the new Dane Cook sitcom Next Caller before it's even airing.
How about that?
Wow.
Yeah. Dane Cook stars as a shock jock who gets stuck with a feminist co-host on his radio show.
Oh, no.
I'm telling you, sparks fly between those two.
Sure.
They ordered 6 episodes. 4 were filmed. NBC looked at him and said, you know what? We're good. Let's not film those final 2. And you know these 4 we have? They will never see the light of day.
Wow. Burn them now. Burn all the copies.
So Next Caller will not be on your mid-season replacement list.
Did you watch the clip from that was released? Did you see it?
No.
Ralph? Mm-mm. The publicity? Oh, my God. You can't believe how bad it was. Dane Cook is like playing this super badass guy, you know, with like the hoodie on and the bad attitude. He's just mean and rude to everybody.
He's a shock jock, man.
Yeah, it was. Oh, sorry.
You don't know. You don't know about radio. What do you know about radio?
I don't. I really don't.
He's a shock jock. Love shock jocks.
You don't see 4 episodes filmed and none aired very often.
No, usually they'll film all 6 and then burn them off somehow. But they're like, this is better unseen, yeah. This show.
Pretend like that.
And we're
happen.
NBC. But even we're not going to show this. That's what they're saying. Lindsay Lohan has officially endorsed Mitt Romney. For those of you who are waiting to hear.
Oh, I have to mark that down.
Who she wanted to vote for?
Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lindsay told reporters, unemployment is very important for now. So as of now, I think my vote is Mitt Romney, she said.
As of now?
Yes.
As if unemployment's going to change in 3 weeks?
I think she's out of work. That's why she thinks it's
unemployment. Oh, I think she's confused. Had a job right now, she'd be going for the president. Yeah. I see.
There's more to her support for Romney. It's a long story, she says, but you're going to have to wait for that.
Nope.
We're
not waiting for anything.
We don't really need to know that, Lindsay, whatever that story is. But in case you're keeping a track at home and you want to get your celebrity list together before the next debate tomorrow night, now you know who Lindsay is.
She joins the Hulk, Ted Nugent, Stacey Dash, and other huge A celebrities.
More celebrities crossing paths with politics. You know, Mitt Romney famously said in the first presidential debate that he would indeed cut funding for PBS and Big Bird. He'd get rid of Big Bird. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the tremendous drain that the funding that goes towards PBS puts on the national deficit. It's like $1.72 or something. So I can see why
0.0012, if I recall.
I can see why they would want to cut that, because it's crippling. Well, he's not going to get away with that easily. No, no, no. The very people he offended with that comment are standing up, and they are going to march on Washington, D.C.'s National Mall.
Who is?
November 3rd. It's the Million Muppet March, Kevin. The Million Muppet March. The biggest assemblage ever of puppets in one place.
Wow, that's going to be tough to...
And probably the most ever puppets marching on Washington, say organizers.
Probably.
Probably, yeah.
Not sure.
In a town with Congress, that's a lot of puppets.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. If you get more puppets than that. Million Muppet March. They will be descending upon Washington, D.C.'s National Mall on November the 3rd. So.
And by million, they mean they're going to try and get 1,000.
How dare you, sir?
100. Really,
how
more like
100. Dare you, 10. Sirs?
All right, just Kermie.
Cookie. Cookie Monster will show up for the free snacks. And the Hulkster is in the news again, Hulk Hogan.
What have I done now?
He is not playing around when it comes to that sex tape that's been floating around the internet. TMZ.com reports that Hulkster has enlisted the help of the FBI.
What?
To help track down the perpetrators for the people who are spreading this tape around the internet. Hulk's attorney said he tried to get things taken care of there in Florida, but they can't for a few reasons. First of all, the statute of limitations on recording without permission has expired because the tape is so old, so they can't pursue that avenue. So what they're doing is, because the tape made it across state lines, they're trying to make it a matter for the feds and see if the FBI will get involved and find out the perpetrator who would dare to spread that tape of Hulk and his shiny head. And his bad tan job and his Speedo lines having sex with that lady. So.
Wouldn't we have already forgotten the sex tape if he weren't pursuing it?
Yep.
And he's worried about that.
That's right, Lisa. You can't have that happen. Today's celebrity birthdays Auto Industry Hall of Famer Lee Iacocca. Remember Lee Iacocca?
Sure.
He not only was ran GM for a long time, but he also invented the Mustang. So let's hear it for Lee Iacocca, people. Hello? Hello, is this thing on? Hello? He's 88 years old today. Actress and director Penny Marshall is 69. Actress Tanya Roberts.
69? She looks 99.
How dare you,
have you
sir?
Seen her lately?
You leave Laverne alone.
Woo!
Tanya Roberts, actress from That 70s Show and Charlie's Angels. Most importantly, Sheena of the Jungle, bitches. She is 57 years old. Stacy Peralta, our buddy, former pro skateboarder and documentary filmmaker. He is 55 years old today. Vanessa Marcil, lovely and talented actress, is 44. And actor Dominic West from The Wire and Rockstar turns 43 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So we're going to be talking to listeners next half hour that lost body parts. That's what you're telling me.
In a funny way.
Oh, yeah. In a funny way, not
yes.
In a sad, tragic, dangerous way. Okay.
Right, right.
That's coming up. Also, J.D. Pardo, a very fine actor from the TV show Revolution, Monday nights on NBC, is going to be joining us. Harvey Levin and, of course, Andrew Siciliano recaps the NFL weekend for us. That's all on the way on this morning's all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
First, it's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, as yes. We do occasionally. We have a lot of stories. One of them is Thriller, Michael Jackson's Tiger in Heaven. The other is the Brazilian penis snake. Then there's Purston Howell III, Rich Katz of Instagram. Then there's Willie the Foulmouth Cockatoo, sorry. Harvey Dent, the Two-Faced Kitten, Badass Super Soldier Ants, Obi the 70-pound wiener dog that needs a diet, Irwin the formerly paralyzed kangaroo, and the killer Asian tiger mosquitoes, and the Brazilian wandering spider.
Wow, those are a lot of animals in the news to choose from. How do That's we right. decide which one we are going to talk to, Kevin?
We spin the wheel, Bean.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
No,
it's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and Bean don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the
All right, let's give that wheel a big old spin and see who we're going to talk to this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, it's Obi, the 70-pound wiener dog.
Oh, yeah!
Wow. Can wiener dogs be 70 pounds?
I don't know.
Enormous.
It sounds like you would pop like a balloon if you're a little. What kind of dog is Obi?
Obi is a Dachshund.
A Dachshund? Yeah.
I don't know.
Dachshund.
All right, whatever. Some of those letters aren't in there. That's all I'm saying.
Long, skinny dogs that are really low to the ground.
Weighs more than twice what he probably should. 77 pounds.
Dear God. I hate that when I... And you do see this. You see obese pets from time to time, and you feel so bad for the animal because the animal doesn't have any self-control. The animal's going to give, you know, eat whatever you feed it.
Right.
But it's up to the owner to not feed the animal till it gets to that point.
And apparently the owners were super old. And so they couldn't walk the dog, and they just kept giving it treats. And so they finally did give up the dog, and now it's with a vet who's putting it on a diet.
Oh, thank
including
God.
Including a treadmill.
Really?
Well, let's find out what it's like for Obi as he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, the Portland Dachshund. Hey, Obi.
Guten Tag. How are you this morning?
Well, we're fine.
Did one of you say I was a Dachshund?
After he said you were a Dachshund.
Oh, that's so funny.
It sounds like you're in the gym. Is that true? You're on the treadmill now?
Well, I'm in the gym, yes.
Okay. It sounds like he's eating.
I am eating, bitch.
Whoa,
okay,
hey.
Well, watch the language here.
Well,
why?
She's a female, right?
Yes.
Oh.
That's
oh,
what
human.
You call the female.
Right, right, right. Okay. Yeah. Right. I'm sorry, you're right.
But it sounds like eating is not what you need. You need less of the eating and more of the working out, Obi.
Milk bones.
Well, those are high-calorie treats. You got to stay away from those.
Yeah, you should high-calorie treats. Why don't you eat my milk bones?
you should be eating something that's low-fat, I think.
Yes. Low-fat things taste like horse ass.
Well, that's true.
Okay, then.
But you might die.
I guess argument finished, then, I suppose.
Look, you're 5 years old. You weigh 77 pounds. You're not going to you're not going to live to be six at that weight. You need to start losing some weight.
I'm big boned.
No, that 77 pounds is crazy.
I'm also very muscular.
No,
muscle weighs more than fat.
A lot of fat.
No, I am fat.
Yeah, we're looking at the picture. You don't even look like you can move.
Well, no, I can move.
For food.
I can move for food.
Yeah.
Yes.
I will, you look like a...
I will work my way over to food like a sea lion.
I imagine that's how you move, yeah.
You kind of look like a stuffed sausage in this photograph, Obi.
Yes. Thank you.
Is that good?
Oh, these are good.
Please stop eating. Mm. Please stop eating. Obi, stop.
Oh, I'm so good.
Please stop.
Well, anyway, my name is not Obi, by the way.
It isn't?
It's AJ.
Well, they changed it, though. You used to be AJ, but now you're Obi.
Yeah, to make me feel worse about myself, like I don't have self-esteem problems as is.
Obi makes you feel worse about yourself?
Yes, Obi stands for obese.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't realize that that was a subtle dig.
Yeah,
it's
not a subtle dig at all.
I didn't realize that.
We didn't get it.
It's a big F you.
It went right past all of us.
Yeah, I didn't know that that was why they named you that. Okay.
Yeah, it's in the story if you read it. It talks about
I,
it.
I mean, I just skimmed it mostly.
Wait, you read the story?
Yeah, well, I like to keep current.
Stand Up Clipper Nation. Be a part of the passion, the heart, dedication, and excitement. Be a part of the thrill. Single game tickets on sale now at Clippers.com or by calling 800-4-NBA-TIX. Represent! I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
No.
What? What just happened?
What did just happen?
What?
She just shouted represent for some odd reason. It's bizarre.
What is I have going Clipper on? Passion.
Lisa, you're the best. We want to hear from you if you've lost a body part coming up after 7 o'clock.
In a funny way.
Yeah.
You know, those funny body parts loss is
1-800-520-1067 if you want to be in on that conversation coming up in just a few minutes.
Nothing funnier than when you lose a body part.
Totally agree.
You know, they have problems in the emergency rooms to stop people from laughing when they come in after they've lost a body part.
That's what we thought.
They got to just, would you please just, see? Hey, get serious, mister.
We're on the same page, Ralph.
That's right.
It's good. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday, Kevin DeBeat Show.
While we're talking about emergency rooms, I thought this little email was appropriate. Hey, Ralph, it was a pleasure meeting you last week. Thanks so much for coming down to support the blood drive. Over 300 wonderful K-Rock fans came down to donate blood.
Awesome.
We want the fans to know that within the hour or so it took them to donate, they just gave someone else a lifetime. On behalf of our patients and the community, we're very grateful for their generosity. I can't thank you, Kevin and Bean, enough for the amazing promotion you guys did on air. Last but not least, the K-Rock crew was absolutely exceptional. It was a pleasure working with them, and they were very accommodating and supportive. Looking forward to next year's event, and that's from Susie Gazarosian, who
Where's
is...
Where's the bud?
No, yeah. No. Mm-hmm. Oh, there was. It's a P.S.
Oh, P.S.
Bring back Amadeus, she writes.
Nope.
She's the manager of the Blood Donor Services there at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, and Susie was on site when we did our blood drive last week, and she just wanted to send a little thank you note to everybody who donated because it was a big success, and they collected a lot of blood, and so we want to thank everyone who came out to the blood drive last week. Good times. It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Taken 2, as predicted, was once again the number one movie in the nation, taking in $22.5 million. Argo did very well in its debut, made a little over $20 million. I got a chance to see that this weekend. It is an excellent, excellent film. To make a thriller, a political thriller, first of all, which has a lot of complex stuff going on, they are very careful and helpful in reminding us what was going on between America and Iran in the late 1970s. So that kind of fills you in. And then you know the ending to the story, basically.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's hard to create tension and... you know, to have a thriller where you know what the outcome is pretty much going in, it's remarkable how much tension and how much suspense they build in this film. Ben Affleck did an amazing job in terms of direction, and the cast is terrific, and I recommend it. You should check it out. Sinister was third at the box office, another movie I liked an awful lot, $18.3 million. Made it number 3, Hotel Transylvania 3D was fourth, then Here Comes the Boom. Only $12 million. I can't believe people didn't rush to the theaters to see Kevin James stars an MMA fighter, one of the most highly honed athletes in the world. I can't believe they didn't buy him in that role. I'm shocked. Pitch Perfect was sixth. Frankenweenie was seventh. Looper, Seven Psychopaths, and The Perks of Being a Wallflower round out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. I cannot stop repeating the story because it gives me so much pleasure. NBC has announced they are canceling Dane Cook's sitcom before it gets on the air.
That's something.
You have to be particularly bad to have a network bail on you before the show even gets on television.
They'll put anything on, it seems.
Well, especially after they invest all the money in filming episodes.
In order to recoup some of their losses, they tried to at least burn them off. They tried to put them in rotation someplace to get some sort of advertising dollars back. But this one, they ordered six. They filmed four. NBC looked at them and said, nah, we're good. Thanks so much for playing.
So in other words, Ralph, as you're saying, they're not going to use it anywhere. They'd rather just burn the money rather than fill up an hour of airtime.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Fail. Epic fail.
Casting news. Christoph Waltz has been signed to play Mikhail Gorbachev in the film Reykjavik.
Good choice.
The legendary sit-down between our president at the time, Ronald Reagan, and the Russian premier to negotiate amid the threat of nuclear war. Michael Douglas will be playing Ronald Reagan. So Christoph Waltz and Michael Douglas starring in that film. Sounds good. Looking forward to that. I'll tell you, Michael Douglas's career has just sort of blown up again recently. He's doing that Liberace biography, and now he's playing Reagan. Making a lot of money playing dead dudes.
Yeah.
He's in the dead dude business. I like that. Amanda Bynes, still in New York City, although she will be returning to the West Coast next month to face a judge regarding a DUI and two separate hit-and-run accidents. Two counts of driving on a suspended license as well. That'll all be rolled into that court date.
Sure.
But she may be a better driver now. New York Post caught her coming out of the Gotham LASIK Vision Center last week wearing a pair of dark glasses, which are usually reserved for patients who have undergone LASIK eye surgery. So speculation is that her vision was pretty bad and now she's had it surgically altered and perhaps she can see stuff now.
It was just, that's all she couldn't see?
Maybe that was the big problem. Maybe it wasn't smoking the hash pipe behind the wheel or anything else. Maybe she just couldn't see and that's why she kept hitting people. I've never seen her with glasses on.
Yeah, that's true. That's funny.
Jennifer Lopez had an embarrassing wardrobe malfunction over the weekend. She was performing in Bologna, Italy, and one of the girls popped out.
All right.
A little nip slip there for J-Lo. It's sort of a common occurrence for J-Lo. She just lets them fly left and right, so no big deal.
She's giving.
She did the Oscars, for God's sakes. And how many female hog hunters do you think there are?
Female hog hunters.
Yeah, there's a popular show on A&E right now called Lady Hoggers. I don't know if you watch Lady Hoggers or not.
Lady.
Come on, you're watching the Lady Hoggers, aren't you?
How is that not on TLC?
I don't know. A&E has their own pretty good lineup of freaks.
They
but
do.
Usually they're freaky professions like the swamp people and stuff like that. You know, gator catchers.
Lady Hoggers.
Lady Hoggers are two women who go out there and try to keep down the wild hog population. So they have to go down there and bring down these giant boars, and they go out there, they go hogging.
Yes.
Now, there is a young lady named Crystal Ward who says A&E stole her concept for a reality show about a bunch of women who hunt hogs, because she's a hogger, and her hog show is called Hogs, Dogs, and Lace. And then she says A&E stole the concept and turned it into Lady Hoggers.
There's room for more than one Lady Hogger show.
I want to know how many women are out there catching hogs that she had women she wanted to put on a show. They found other women on A&E to put on their show. How many women hoggers are there out there?
Boy,
ladies, call us if you're hogging.
Nope. Not right now.
Don't call us if you're Dawes. And Tyra Banks.
You even had no confidence in that.
That made me laugh. It was silly. Tyra Banks is heading into the worlds of sitcoms.
Oh,
great. We just got rid of Dane Cook's sitcom. Now we got to deal with Tyra Banks' sitcom.
Hopefully she'll get the same treatment.
Her new sitcom's based on her teenage years. How difficult it was for her to be an ugly girl in high school. God. Will she let this whole thing go?
No.
About how skinny and hideous she was in high school, how no one liked her, and then how modeling changed her life.
Well, that can happen to everyone, so she's trying to show you how.
Sure.
She's
everyone
just
can
like
become
us.
A supermodel.
That's right, become a tycoon. She's calling the show Five Head because she had a big forehead, see, in high school.
So then they call her
Five Head.
Was that insane? Was that not crazy?
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows.
In high school, if you have glasses, you're a four eyes. If you have braces, you're a metal mouth. But if you had my forehead, you're a five head.
Oh, man, do I hate her.
She told the press this week after announcing her sitcom. Look, if it doesn't involve current day Tyra getting airtight
I don't want to see her. I really don't. I don't want to see. I don't want to hear her talk. I don't want to read her books. Nope. I don't want to hear her talk about her business degree. I don't want to hear any of it.
Today's celebrity birthday is Dominic West from The Wire and Rockstar is 43 years old. Vanessa Marcil. She's very attractive. She's 44 years old. Stacy Peralta, the man who gave you Dogtown and Z-Boys and Riding Giants, former pro skateboarder himself. He is 55 years old today. Tanya Roberts from That 70 Show and Charlie's Angels. She's 57. A lot of people forget she was an Angel. She came in towards the tail end of the Angel run, but she was also a Bond girl, 57 years old. And Penny Marshall, actress, director, probably still remember her best as Laverne of Laverne and Shirley, but she gave us League of Their Own and Big, very successful director, 69 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone is going to be joining us later on tonight. But it worked. I believe it's worth a mention right now that Aaron Rodgers is just a beast.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable. Did you watch any of that game last night?
I didn't, know, but I saw highlights, yeah.
Yeah, I think he ended up throwing for 6 touchdowns last night. The Houston Texans, who were previously undefeated, finally lost a game last night. And the Packers, even though they're 3-3, you got to look at them and go, you know, you can never count those guys out. They are unbelievable. And it's funny because the Texans are also what kind of got us started on this phone topic of funny ways that you lost a body part a couple of weeks ago when the Texans were playing against Denver, I think. There was a very serious illegal hit that cost the quarterback for the Texans, Matt Schaub, a piece of his ear.
Seen it a couple times today, Jim, where Matt Schaub has hung in there. With so much force, it popped the helmet off. He's bleeding, too. Matt Schaub. Looks like his left ear, I saw blood.
Now, it'd be better if it was his whole ear, let's be honest. But what's funnier, that or Mike Tyson biting Evander Holyfield?
Oh, bite.
I think that, the bite is even crazier.
So we're looking for funny ways you lost a body part. 1-800-520-1067. Or lame, or you were stupid, or just out of the ordinary. Give us a call and tell us.
So in other words, it can't just be I lost my foot in an auto accident or something
like
that.
That's not funny.
It has to be, I was mowing the lawn and I ran over myself with the lawnmower. That's what we're looking
for. If we have one of those, call us now.
We do have some calls already on the line, much to Ralph's chagrin, who thought we'd have nobody out there with humorous stories. Jason, for instance, is going to get us going here at 1-800-520-1067. Let's face it, there's no one who wakes up ever and thinks, today's the day I'm going to lose a piece of my body.
That's true.
You pretty much assume that whatever you wake up with is what you're going to bed with. But that doesn't always work out, right, Jason?
No, it doesn't. We had this wiener dog my wife brought home. Thing never liked me. We had it for about a week. When we were showing our house, we're getting ready to sell it. The realtor comes over, the couple people that are interested in the house. So the dog's on the bed. So I go get the little wiener dog off the bed, and he decides to just bite the bottom of my lip off.
Ouch!
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
The scariest thing is we couldn't find a little piece of my lip, so the thing ate it.
What?
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so now you're trying to stop the bleeding before the people come look at the bedroom?
Oh, no. They're in the living room. I came out of the room to show my wife, and they just had their jaws drop like, oh, my God, blood everywhere.
You know how to sell a house, Jason.
Yeah, let's just say they didn't want to buy the house after that. You know?
What a surprise.
Looked like a murder scene.
Guy comes down all bloody.
Yeah.
I hope you made it clear that the dog wasn't included in the price of the house, because that would have scared him off. So what happened? So you're petting the dog or what? How did the dog end up jumping into your face?
No, he was sitting on my daughter's bed. I just reached up to just get him off the bed and throw him outside. When I went to grab him, he decided, bam, just get me.
Yeah.
And it kind of shocked me because I was like, did he just bite my face? And I looked and it just, I went and looked in the mirror and it was this big old chunk gone.
Oh. How does it look now?
Yeah, did it, what happens when you lose part of your lip? It never grows back, right?
No, I went to the emergency room, and it was a big old ordeal. The surgeon there couldn't do anything with it, so they called the plastic surgeon, and he did a good job. He just kind of did some work to it, and now I just got like a little scar. But
that's good.
That's amazing.
I pictured you spending 2 days watching the dog till it poops out your lip. So you can take
it
back.
We got a cat now, you know, we got a cat.
All right, Jason, thank you very much. I had I got bit by a pig once, and it took out a chunk, but it did end up smoothing out, and you can barely tell. Aww. Now. It's just a little bit of a scar. It's not like having, you know, I didn't lose half a finger or anything like that.
That's too bad.
Yeah, animal bites, that can be a bad deal. Let's go to Casey. Casey's on line two. We're taking your calls on funny ways or interesting ways that you lost a body part. Or you were stupid, yeah. Sure. 1-800-520-1067. Casey, thanks for dialing in, man. What happened?
You're welcome. I've seen the most bizarre accident ever years ago when a friend at a party was drunk. He took rubber bands and he was pleasuring himself. with it, and then
with a rubber band.
Yeah, with a rubber band instead of one of those metal rings or whatever.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And what happened was after he, I guess, came to while I left the room, obviously, and then all of a sudden he screamed. And then all of a sudden he was like, oh, my gosh. And then, like, it turned into, like, this hourglass thing where, like, the rubber band just started, like, tourniqueting his, like...
Oh, no!
You know, bloodshot, you know, like, transparent boner, I guess, so to speak. And, like, he wanted to get a box cutter, but he just had to, like, you know, wait till it, like, receded or something.
Wow!
Okay, now, hold on. Slow down.
Did that hurt like crazy?
According to him, it did.
Oh, BS. Did it hurt like crazy when you did it?
Right,
oh, you suspect that the friend that Casey is talking about is somebody who's very close to him right
now? Who's going
to
call up and admit to putting a rubber band around their junk?
So did he lose it?
No, he didn't lose it. I guess he just, and after a while, you just get used to it. You know, he's thinking about the Rocky Mountain oyster thing.
Lost part of it.
Yeah, no, he didn't lose anything at all.
All right.
Well, that's not the story that we...
This doesn't count at all, then.
This doesn't count. Call back when you lose your wiener.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, it's a fine story. I enjoyed the story very much. But if you didn't lose anything, then we don't...
I think he's off topic.
All right, let's go to Bob real quick. He's on line 6, 1-800-520-1067. You lost a body part. Bob, what happened, brother?
Well, good morning, Kevin Dean, Lisa May.
Good morning.
I basically was going to the bathroom, number 2, and after years of pushing, I had what's called a rectal prolapse in my...
I don't know what that is, but I don't like it.
Yeah, no, I didn't either. It wasn't exciting. But the intestines basically come out, and the only way to fix it is they go in and remove a couple feet of it.
Oh, my God.
You pooped out your own intestines?
Unfortunately.
Oh, my God. I've never heard of that.
Now, I've heard of prolapsed pregnancies before.
What did
you
say?
Call your mom in?
I said it was, I was like 18, so I had to scream and go, mom. She came in. She's like, oh, no.
Can I hear your impression of your mom again, please?
Oh, no.
So does she call 911 and then the paramedics come and take you to the hospital and they cut out your intestines?
No, it was I had to go to see a gastroenterologist and a proctologist, and they...
Oh, my God.
I guess it's fairly common if you end up pushing.
Well, stop pushing so hard, dude.
Dude, for
God's sakes.
Yeah.
And how are you now? Is everything normal now?
Yeah, everything's great now. They did a surgery where they basically take out a foot and a half, and then they put in, like, a net to hoist everything up and staple it to your sacral bone and your spine.
That can't possibly work. That sounds crazy.
But, again, just like we were saying, how nobody expects to wake up and lose a body part. I mean, this guy, Bob, poor Bob, he's 18. He just goes in to use the toilet. I mean, that's all he thinks is going to happen is I'm going to take care of business. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to walk out of here and go about my day. Next thing you know, he's at the proctologist's. Dude. Yeah.
Wow.
No bueno.
No bueno indeed.
Thank you for the call, sir.
Appreciate that.
Oh, my God. We got plenty of calls. We got to take a break. But when we come back, more body parts lost by Kevin and Bean listeners. I love you people so much. 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back on K-Rock. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're taking your calls right now on funny ways you lost your body parts. Andrew writes in, so after all the Jackass movies came out, I decided to attempt these stunts at home. Which, of course, is the exact opposite of what they say to do in the movie. I got myself a Sector 9 skateboard. I was wearing sandals, and I skated full speed into a parked car. Upon impact, my big toe on my right foot was completely severed and landed several feet away. $10,000 plus later, my toe was reattached. But to this day, I still cannot bend it. He lost a toe.
Yeah, but in that case, you go, the world is right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You deserve to lose a toe.
Right. You're a dumbass.
Let's go to Danielle on line 2 as we get back into your calls here on this topic. Danielle is one of Kevin's people. Hi. Welcome to the show, my dear.
Hello.
What happened? How'd you lose a body part?
Actually, my boyfriend, he was 13 years old, and he and a buddy decided it would be really funny to set off an M80 in the boys' bathroom at church. And
that is pretty funny.
Well, it was until he started feeling guilty and tried to pull the fuse out.
Oh, no. And he put his hand... Oh.
Yeah. So that didn't work out so well. So he tossed it, and it exploded right as he threw it. And he now has no pinky, half of a ring finger, and he's missing the tip of his middle finger.
Oh, wow.
M80s are pretty strong.
Yeah, it's about a half a stick of dynamite. So
that's awesome.
That didn't work out so well.
And this is your boyfriend now?
Yes.
But he's good with the other hand.
He's totally fine with the other hand.
Okay, well done. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right, let's go to Brandon, line 1, 1-800-520-1067. Brandon, who lost a body part?
I did.
Fantastic.
When I was 4, my brother was riding an exercise bike. You know, it's just the old style.
Sure.
With just a chain and a wheel. And I wanted to ride it, so I just grabbed the chain.
Oh.
I thought that would stop it, and my finger went through the sprocket and got chewed off.
Oh, that sounds nasty. But you were 4, you didn't have any idea.
Yeah, no clue. My best part, my parents were out of town. We're staying with my grandparents for the first time.
Oh, great. Great.
Yeah.
So what do you have now? You just have half a finger?
Yeah, just it's down to the first knuckle pretty much.
It's a good time.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks very much for the call.
Nice
Appreciate
work.
It. You know, Jerry Garcia, late singer-guitarist for the Grateful Dead, he had the exact same injury. Had a middle finger was missing. Half the finger was missing. And they said that that contributed to his unique style of guitar playing. He could do things
really
with
made him better
that other people couldn't do because he didn't have that part of the finger in the way, which I always thought was weird, but it worked for him. All right, how about one more? Let's go Sam, line 3. Hi, Sam. Thanks for calling. What's going on, dude?
How you guys doing? Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
When I was in high school, we'd been drinking, and we saw the commercials for Maglite, the flashlight that said that you can run it over with your truck.
Right.
So we took it out. Put it
Let's test it out!
And I'm setting it there in place, and he takes the e-brake off, and it starts to roll back on my finger.
And, so the car rolled over your finger?
Technically the Maglite did. So it goes wheel, Maglite, my finger, concrete. And so I say, ow, and he thought I said go.
Oh.
But he puts it in reverse, and my finger starts to skid on the concrete with the Maglite.
Oh, man.
It never actually went over, but it skid away about half my pinky.
Oh, that hurts.
And then I didn't really want to look at it, so we wrapped it up, and we just kept drinking and went out. And so now it looks pretty gnarly, 10 years later. But, back then, we didn't think anything of it. I've been drinking so much that it didn't matter.
Wow. That's where high school drinking will get you.
Yep, yep. Well, you can't tell. You sound like a productive citizen today, Sam.
Thanks for the call.
How about that show Revolution on NBC Monday nights, the one where they lose the power and then
Love
15
it.
Years later? Yeah, it's a hell of a show. J.D. Pardo, one of the actors on the show, he plays Nate, part of the militia, going to be joining us in studio in about
part of the
20
militia?
Minutes or so.
Question mark?
Right.
Oh, well, yeah.
We don't know.
Not everybody is who they seem to be on
that's
that
right.
show, that's for sure. Anyway, I think he's also in the next Twilight movie that's coming out next month, too. So we'll talk to JD coming up in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, this is not going to be news to Kevin because I know you subscribe to the Journal of Neuroscience. You've been getting that for years at the
sure.
house.
I memorize them and then I throw them away.
Kevin just has to read it once and then he's got every detail committed to memory.
It's all there.
This is a fascinating new study that I am not smart enough to completely understand, but it is funded by the Wellcome Trust at Newcastle University, and they were trying to figure out why the human brain reacts the way it does to certain sounds. Why are some sounds so unpleasant and others so likable? And they have found for the first time, and this is kind of big news, I guess, in neuroscience, they have found that there is a relationship between the different parts of the brain, the emotional part of the brain that maybe has an association with what the sound means.
Okay.
And the auditory part of the brain, which just processes the actual sound. And there has never been a connection made between those two before. And they have concluded that that is why some sounds will react to those sounds the way that you do.
Wait, this is not a subjective like a questionnaire, a poll?
This is according to watching brain waves and seeing what the different parts of the brain do as they are being subjected to various sounds. Yeah,
wow.
They hooked up a bunch of people to a bunch of machines and everything and then ran all these sounds by them. Let me give you a couple of examples. For instance, the least unpleasant sounds, the sounds that people like the most. I don't know if you're going to be too surprised by this, but water flowing.
Running water.
Was one of the least unpleasant sounds. This was number 4 on their list of the sounds that people like.
Okay.
Number 3, and this surprised me a little bit, was the sound of thunder.
Oh, I love it.
Really? Yeah, do you enjoy the
too.
Sound of thunder?
I do. I love it.
Isn't that weird? Because it usually means storms and rain, but people
Which is
like
exciting.
Thunder. Babies laughing. Number 2 on the least unpleasant sounds. People love that. What do you guys think number 1 is? The sound that people like the most when they hear it?
Dane Cook's voice? No.
Lisa, you got to guess a sound that is pleasing.
Wow, I don't know.
I wouldn't have been able to guess either. It's applause. What?
Really?
Applause is the sound. And I don't know if that has mostly, you know, again, we're getting back to the emotional part of the brain. Does that have to do with people associate that with positive things, things that are good, things that you like?
Something maybe good just happened. So
something
that's
good just happened. Yeah. So applause is number one. Some of the items on the most unpleasant sounds include female screams.
Sure.
Brakes on a motorcycle squealing, a baby crying, electric drill, a lot of stuff like that.
Guy pooping out his intestine? That's not a good sound.
You know what? If they'd have put that on the list, I think you'd have been onto something. All right, I'm warning you now because we're going to be hearing the most unpleasant sounds
only for a little
in the
bit.
World.
Only for just a little tiny
only
bit.
Only for a few seconds all each, right. Yes. Number five is the one that you would have guessed, as would I, would be number one.
Fingernails on a chalkboard.
Yeah, that's not a pleasant sound, is it? Fingernails on a chalkboard.
That's either that or that's skiing in the rocks.
So what you're saying is if we didn't know what that sound was, it wouldn't be as unpleasant to us?
That's what they think, yes. They think part of it is your emotional response to, we all are familiar with nails on a chalkboard. Right. We've experienced it at some point in our life. And at this point, it's even become a cliche, nails on a chalkboard. That's how people describe bad sounds. Number four on the list of most unpleasant sounds. This is not a real thing that you would ever encounter in real life. This is something they must have come up with for the test, but it's a ruler on a bottle. This is the sound of a ruler on a bottle.
It's got that.
Ew.
It has that screechy
chalkboard sound. Yeah.
Screechy chalkboard sound. That's hard to listen to.
It's no good, right?
No. I don't really come across that in my normal life.
You never have to worry about a ruler on
a
bottle.
Dude, with the ruler, take it easy on the bottle. Does it make sense? Why don't they pick stuff that exists?
Well, I don't know. Back to the blackboard now. This time it's chalk. Chalk on a blackboard.
Ew.
That's not chalk.
That's a horror movie.
It does sound like
what
a horror
movie. What the F kind of chalk is that?
Or a deranged cricket.
What's wrong with the scientists?
Number two of the most unpleasant sounds is a fork.
A fork?
A fork on a glass.
What? Oh, stop. That's way hard to listen to.
It gives me those icky chills.
All right, stop though.
All right, I know what
seriously
number,
though.
Stop it. Yeah, I know what number one is.
Do you? Because yeah. I would not have been able to guess. What do you think number one is?
It is Yoko Ono singing.
Well, they probably didn't consider that.
Let's see what number one is on the most unpleasant sounds in the world.
I myself am a drummer, so and I've been lucky to.
I don't think anybody is surprised by that. Beer mug is the worst sound in the world. No, really, the worst sound in the world. Again, not something you're likely to ever find. But this is how long could you listen to this? By the way, this is Guantanamo ready. This is a knife on a bottle.
Seems like a combination. Why do people put those things on bottles? What about a knife on a plate? Isn't that bad
what
enough?
What about a knife on a person?
You tell me if either of those are worse than a knife on a bottle.
Oh. Yeah, that's really
wow.
That is. Because you just that have that is, physical.
All right already.
Response.
Not sexy. That is
why
not,
are people doing that with bottles?
I don't know.
Stop it.
But I do know that it's not good. If only the Black Keys had volunteered how awesome their new song with RZA was from that soundtrack that's coming out here soon, debuted last week. They didn't feel fit to bring that up for us when we were talking to us.
What happened? Look, they're great musicians, and that breakfast was really good, I thought.
It was fun.
But they don't overshare.
No, they don't.
That's not their fault.
Check it out. It's called The Baddest Man in the World. I think we put it up at KROQ.com, but it is a terrific new song from the Black Keys. Right now, though, Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Because it's Monday, we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Taken 2, for the second week in a row, was the number one movie in the land. $22.5 million made it number one, just by a hair, though, just beating out Argo at number two with a little over $20 million in it. Debut weekend, excellent film. If you haven't checked it out, I recommend it highly. Sinister, scary movie. In its debut, did very well, $18.3 million. See Sinister, Kevin?
I did not.
No.
I didn't have time this weekend.
I thought you wanted to see those movies where they show you Kevining up in the attic there. I thought you'd want to see those.
Oh, yeah.
Hotel Transylvania. $17.3 million, then Here Comes the Boom, Kevin James, in the tragic story of an MMA fighter who has to raise money for his school's music program. And
it's not really an MMA fighter, is it?
No.
Teacher.
No. He really is, yeah.
Okay.
He's fifth on the list with $12 million. Pitch Perfect was sixth. Frank and Weenie, Looper, Seven Psychopaths, and The Perk of Being a Wallflower rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. Tragic news breaking today. It looks as if Terminator 5 has been put on an indefinite hold.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Not Terminator 5.
Yeah. Schwarzenegger was talking to Empire Magazine, said he had not seen any script. There's nothing on board at this point. Justin Lin, the director, was supposed to direct, but the script is having had such a hard time being finalized that he has abandoned the film to do a Fast 5 sequel. The Fast and the Furious sequel. So
this movie does look good.
This guy just keeps getting better and better, this Justin Lin. He just keeps going from quality project to quality project. Powers that be say that with no director and no script, it'll be at least a couple years before any momentum for Terminator 5 ramps up again, if ever. So we may never see a Terminator 5.
Since when do they need a script and a director?
I know.
Come on.
You just put a guy in a leather jacket and say, sure. I'll be back. Sylvester Stallone, of course, friends with Arnold Schwarzenegger. They did the Expendables films together. He is getting back in the ring.
Nope.
Not as Rocky, however.
Oh.
He will be co-starring in a film about a retired fighter who agrees to one last bout in the ring. Now, Stallone is not playing that fighter. He's playing the opponent. Robert De Niro will be playing the retired boxer.
What?
That's right. It's Raging Bull versus Rocky.
These are
in the same ring together.
In their 60s, though, right?
Yeah. Well, that makes it a fair fight. It would be fair if one guy was in his 60s, the other guy was in his 20s.
So they fight for like a minute, and then they get a 10-minute break.
What I'm saying is nobody wants to see guys in their 60s fight.
All right. Well, we'll see when the movie comes out, whether people want to see it or not. I want to see Robert De Niro fight Sylvester Stallone badly.
All right.
So much so I might get them together in a bar and just ply them with alcohol and tell them one of them insulted the other just to get that going. The only discouraging part of this story is that Entourage creator Doug Ellen is writing the screenplay. So we may or may not get a quality film out of that. We'll see. Since Green Day bailed on the 2012 Voodoo Music and Arts experience in New Orleans due to Billy Joe Armstrong still being in rehab, Metallica has stepped up to take their place. That's a pretty good sub.
Yeah, no kidding.
There's no word on when Billy Joe will be ready to get back on the road, but all of the band's upcoming gigs are on hold. Metallica gets to headline the Voodoo Fest on Saturday, October the 27th. So, if you're making your plans to head down to New Orleans, you'll be seeing Metallica instead of Green Day. They haven't performed in New Orleans since 2008, the band says, and they're looking forward to it. So that's good news. And sad news. The guy who tried to break into Miley Cyrus's home with a pair of scissors in his pants has been convicted of misdemeanor trespassing and resisting arrest. Jason Luis Rivera was arrested on September the 8th outside Miley's home holding a pair of scissors claiming to be her friend. Why are you so quick to penalize this guy? Maybe he is her friend. We don't know.
Maybe she called him and said, do you have scissors?
She said, have you seen what I did to my hair? Can you maybe come over and trim my bangs and help me out? He threw himself against the wall of the house a few times before he realized he couldn't get in that way.
Wow.
According to police, he kept running into the wall thinking that was an entrance.
That's strong.
He should have taken out the scissors and tried to cut his way into the house if he had any brains.
He could have made that in 4 years.
Miley was not home at the time. Riviera will do 18 months behind bars. They offered him probation. He said no. So
what?
He wanted to go inside. Maybe he's got other friends on the inside. And who is the greatest guitar player of all time? That's the question asked by Guitar World magazine.
Tom Morello.
According to its readers, we have an answer.
Got to be Hendrix, right?
Guitar greats went up against each other in a new poll, which eventually listed 100 guitar players. Here are your top 10.
I love this.
Kevin's going to be very upset.
Uh-oh.
Because your buddy's not on the list.
Not in the top 10?
Not in the top 10.
That's ridiculous. You in the list.
That's absurd.
That's absurd.
Steve Vai at number 10.
Yeah. Don't know who that is.
Dimebag Darrell from Pantera, 9th on the list. Stevie Ray Vaughan was 8th. Tommy Iommi from Black Sabbath, 7th. Jimmy Page, 6th. Number 5, Joe Satriani.
This whole list is bogus.
Now, this is guitar players voting on guitar players. I think it has some validity.
All bogus.
Jimi Hendrix was 4th. Alex Lifeson from Rush, 3rd on the list. 2nd, Brian May from Queen.
you know, he is often lost in the conversation. I think Brian May is a brilliant guitarist. It doesn't get talked about nearly enough.
Well, number one, it's got to be Eddie, right?
Eddie Van Halen, number
gotta
one.
Got to be, yeah. If it's not Hendrix.
He is the guitar player's guitar player.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kevin.
That's dumb.
Okay. Kevin has weighed in. That's dumb.
It's my ruling. I will say, as much as I'm loathe to agree with Kevin
on
the logic that he uses, that I wonder if this was an older crowd that maybe isn't as familiar with Rage Against the Machine, because the fact that you have some of those, you know, some of those Black Sabbath guys and whatnot in there makes me wonder.
Readers of Guitar World magazine.
No, I understand.
But that wasn't Kevin's argument at all, Bean.
Mine was
Kevin's argument was, it's dumb.
No, but I'm
he's not in the top 10. It's a bogus list.
Yeah, I just think maybe the survey sample was flawed, but of Guitar World magazine readers, yeah, this is their list. I understand that.
But it's dumb.
Hey, that's my argument.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to steal it.
All right. Do any of them own a Dachshund?
Or a Datsun?
I still couldn't say the name of that dog if I had to.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Penny Marshall's 69 years old today. Actress Tanya Roberts from That 70s Show and Charlie's Angels and the Bond film View to a Kill. 57 years old today. Stacy Peralta, documentary filmmaker and former pro skateboarder, is 55. Vanessa Marcil is 44 years old. And actor Dominic West from The Wire and Rockstar. He's dumb. He's 43 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hey, J.D. Pardo, what's it like being on
Not
Revolution?
Here. Not here. Traffic.
You know what? You know why? Because he walks everywhere. That's why.
That's what happens on the
Revolution too long. Is you just walk
on the
everywhere.
Show. It's just on the show.
J.D. Pardo, of course, plays Nate on the program, member of the militia or not. We'll talk to him. I guess he's going to be here in the building in just a few minutes. In the meantime, though, I have a question for you guys. What does somebody have to do to get you to watch him on television? Like Felix Baumgartner yesterday, who jumped from freaking space, and I'm the only one in the building who saw it. What does somebody have to do to get your attention?
Well, some of us do things that are not, now see if you can follow me, mm-hmm. are not related to the internet or TV.
Wait, what kind of things are there? What do you mean?
There's life. Things. There's people. You go do things. You're busy. You experience things. You don't just sit at home and watch stuff.
You were out of your house?
Yes. All weekend.
On a Sunday?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Why would you? Lisa, where were you when Felix was jumping from space yesterday?
Well, listen, I was ready for him on Friday.
Yeah, right? He's late.
I would have done it then, but, you know, I have a life. Screw you.
I was in Satan's butthole, which is San Bernardino.
Well, this was one of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen. There's a lot to talk about when you get into Felix. First of all, imagine what it's like. And the pictures are stunning, Kevin. At least do yourself a favor and watch a recap. Watch some videos.
I've seen
some photos
the recap,
today.
And I was wondering about that. My cell phone, I can't call across the street.
Yes.
And they have a perfect picture from space.
Yes, an HD picture of him standing on the steps of his little spacecraft there as he prepares to jump out in free fall. 4 minutes and 20 seconds. He free falls. He got up to, guys, let me see if I can find it here. You know, they didn't know exactly how fast he was going to be. And you go a lot faster than you and I would falling off the roof of a building or something because there's very little atmosphere up there.
Right.
So you're free falling so fast. He got to 833 miles per hour in his free fall.
God. What's the speed of sound?
I don't know what the speed of sound is. It's Mach. He was at Mach 1.24. So yeah, I guess anything over Mach 1 breaks the speed of sound. I think. I'm no scientist here. I'm not exactly sure.
Wait, you're not a scientist?
I thought the speed of sound was 700 and something miles. We should have perhaps lined up somebody other than me to describe what happened yesterday. But imagine, I mean, think about the fastest you've ever gone. You can't feel it in a plane, but like in a car, if you go 110 miles an hour, maybe that's the fastest you've ever gone. Picture going 8 times that fast and without the car.
I saw the video. He was tumbling. He would have gone a lot faster had he just dove.
Yes. Yes.
Don't you think?
I'm sure he didn't intend to tumble.
He
right?
tumbled.
No, he knew he was going to tumble.
Oh, really? You can't help
He knew he was going to tumble. He had found that out in some of the tests that have been from, you know, in the weeks leading up to yesterday that have not been from as high. He knew that he was going to tumble. But listen to this. This is what he says. It started out pretty good because my exit was perfect. I did exactly what I was supposed to do, and then I was falling over. It looked like that for a second I was going to tumble two more times and have it under control, but for some reason the spin became so violent over all axes, and it was hard to know how to get out of that spin. If you're in that situation and it spins you around like hell and you do not know if you can get out of the spin or not, of course it is terrifying. I was frightened all the way down to regain control because I wanted to break the speed of sound. And I hit it. I don't know after how many seconds I could feel the air was pulling up and I hit it, he said. So he was falling in a free fall from 4 minutes and 20 seconds. But he was also saying in an interview that I saw afterwards that he was in this pressurized suit so that he couldn't feel the air around him like he normally does when he usually jumps out of a plane or right. something like that, when he's just in a parachute or something. So he didn't have the kind of control that he would normally ordinarily have in terms of being able to right himself or put himself in the right direction because he couldn't feel the air outside because he was in the pressurized right. suit. So he pretty much just had to do it visually. He had to look at what was happening to his body and then adjust basically without being able to feel it. Can you imagine what that must be like?
You asked what he needs to do to get our attention. I'm saying he needs to stop tumbling and dive. Then get back to me. Tell him to try it again.
He did set a couple of records, by the way. He jumped out of a plane a capsule. He jumped higher than anybody's ever jumped before, about 24 and a half miles. I think it was 128,000 feet this balloon went up to. He did not break the free fall record, by the way.
Ha! Loser.
4 minutes and 20 seconds was not the free fall record.
What's the record?
The record is like 15 seconds more than that. And the guy who was in mission control in Roswell, New Mexico, the guy who was talking him through the checklist and telling him what to do and everything like that, is the previous record holder, the guy who set the record back in 1960. He's on Felix's team now, assisting him to try to break his own record.
Well,
was he saying, stay the course? 15 seconds he missed it by. What a loser.
Where did that guy jump from?
Who's with me?
That guy jumped from not as high. I don't know how he was able to get so much faster. But it was an insane thing. And by the way, another record was set yesterday, and this is Bean's people, not Kevin's people, is that more than 8 million people at one time were watching it on YouTube. I mean, those are higher ratings than you get with a lot of cable shows, for instance. 8 million people watching him
jump
out
of his plane. They all wanted him to pop.
Well,
I wondered about that. Yeah. You know, we talked about this guy a few weeks ago when we knew that this event was getting close, and we talked about how they really didn't know what was going to happen to him if he did break the sound barrier, if he got up to that fast. I mean, there was some actual concern that he was, you know, his eyeballs were going to pop out and he was just going to lose everything in his head.
Oh my God, that would have been something. 8 million people would have been watching that.
That would have been a sad thing if we would have had to watch his lifeless corpse hit the ground.
It would have got me to watch.
But he landed on his feet, by the way, which, again, that's badass, right?
Show off.
On his feet.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Felix Baumgartner, who did an unbelievable thing yesterday, but not quite unbelievable to get Kevin and Lisa to watch. J.D. Pardo, one of the fine actors on NBC's Revolution, Monday nights at 10, joins us in studio right now. What do you mean you used to listen to us, J.D.? That's the only thing I heard you say. You used to listen to us? What happened?
Well, you know, you guys were really hot when you first came out, and then it just sort of...
It has gone
downhill.
That's what happened.
It came a little dull, a little
bland.
That's
a good call.
So we're no good anymore, and you're a big star now, so... Revolution. It turns out, and I don't know if they're just saying this because they can get away with it, but they claim on your network, NBC, that it's the highest rated new show or new drama of the season. It's doing really well, right?
Yeah, I think so. But you know what? It's funny. I turned on the TV the other day and I saw CBS did the same thing.
They all do
and
it.
Everyone's doing it, like new show, hottest show.
Number one show.
Wait a minute. What about us?
Who has Nashville, Bean?
I think that's ABC, isn't
okay.
it?
Okay. They were saying before the season premiere that it's the new number one show.
Oh, that's baloney.
Before the season premiere. It didn't even air yet. I was like, what?
Not Nashville. I don't buy that.
Yeah, right. It doesn't matter even if it had aired, but it hadn't aired once. It was the number one show.
Well, you got us hooked early on Revolution. The whole concept is so great, and I'm still trying to figure out, and at some point I hope we're going to find out what happened to the power. Like, the power dies, and now we're set 15 years into the future, and things have not gone well for the world since the electricity went out, right?
Right. Yeah, things are kind of bad with the militia and everything, but you're going to find out. You know, I think that we're going to find out sooner
than... This isn't
than,
lost. It's not going to be like seven seasons, and then we're going to go, don't know, it had something to do with the smoke monster.
Yeah, no way. You're going to find out soon.
Here's what I don't understand. And if you can't answer this, you can't answer this. There are some things that humans can build without power. Like the fact that there are no boats anymore, they were able to make boats 2,000 years ago.
No, they were stolen by the militia, Bean. You got to pay attention.
Why can't humans just figure out a way to make things like boats that don't require electricity?
I know, like Noah made an ark. Right?
So,
right. Thank you.
What did he have?
Like, good point.
but that just seems so inconsistent and crazy to me. It seems like is there an explanation for that? I mean, I don't get it.
No, you know, I think that, you know, because they're doing so many things that I think they're trying to just, you know, they don't want to reveal too much, and so they got to be all over the place. You know, it's like when Grace turned on, you know, the internet.
Right.
You know, it's like, whoa, where'd that come from? Someone has power.
And the internet, right?
Right. So I think that it's one of those situations where, you know, you can, there's electricity in certain spots, which adds more to, like, what really happened.
And,
you know, if someone's holding it.
People must know
more
than they're telling or whatever.
Right, right.
Now, let me ask you a question about your character. Are you militia and not? In other words, you just work for yourself, and when it's the militia, it's fine, and when it's yourself, it's fine. Or are you militia, and you have a crush on the character Charlie?
I think I'm militia.
You don't know?
Until I'm in the presence
of Charlie?
Of Charlie, a beautiful woman. You know, then I just turn stupid. I forgot what I'm doing.
Sounds about right.
It happens. It happens.
It does.
No, I'm part of the militia.
Okay.
I'm definitely part of the militia, but, you know, as you see, he's attracted to her and
who could blame him?
And who can blame him?
Yeah. All right, are we going to find out anything else tonight about your storyline?
Oh, you sure are.
Okay.
There's
what
lot,
are we going to find out exactly?
Oh, okay. You have to watch Monday night, tonight, NBC.
Will love bloom between your character and Charlie?
Boy, I hope so.
Because I think there has been some little bit of, certainly some interest from your point. I don't know
she
if
she's
like
actor,
reciprocal or not.
Can't tell. She seems like a tough nut to crack, though.
Yeah, she does.
Well, he didn't exactly come at it right, either.
No.
Hey, militia guy, trying to fool you.
Yeah, there was that.
That doesn't help.
There was that. All right. That's fine.
Well, guys can have their secrets, too, right? Because girls do.
Yeah.
Sure.
So.
Where do you film most of this?
We're in Wilmington, North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yeah. We shot the pilot in Atlanta. So that was.
It's pretty cool to see different parts of the you know, United States overgrown with moss and trees and all kinds
of
crap.
Right. Yeah.
It's really a bizarre world that you guys have created.
It's great. Everything's fabulous except for the mosquitoes. That's, you know, they pack a punch.
North Carolina. Yeah. Are you covered in bug bites?
Oh, yeah.
We hear that from our Walking Dead guests, too, who are filming in Georgia. Same kind of deal. You know, they got to fight the chiggers and whatnot. What
language?
Have you dipped it all into the crazy sci-fi fanatical following that shows like yours develop? Have you had any encounters? Like did you go to Comic-Con, for instance?
I did go to Comic-Con.
And you got,
you don't remember
you got a little
me from
taste
Comic-Con?
Of that. Oh, we didn't see you at Comic-Con.
Yeah, you did.
I interviewed him.
Yeah. Oh,
but
Kevin
Dean
did. Okay.
Wasn't there.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, you know, I keep hearing about it, but I think, you know, as the show goes on, hopefully we'll, you know, encounter some of that craziness.
Oh, it's out there.
Is it?
Oh, it's out there. It'll find you soon. Right. If it hasn't already, it'll find you soon.
Revolutionaries Monday nights at 10 on NBC. Hey, we couldn't have you in here without asking a Twilight question or two.
Oh, boy. Okay.
You're a singing dog, right?
Yeah, check it out. I'm about to reveal so much about Robin Kristen, it's not even funny. Here we go.
Oh, okay.
And there's my post.
That's
it. Shaking you off? Well, why do we have that shade up?
Yeah, let's not let her wave him away.
All I was going to ask is about your character in Twilight. You're new to the franchise with this next movie, right?
I am. I play Nahuel, who's half human, half vampire, and he's like the legend hybrid. So that's all I can say.
Do you have
any
scenes with the cardboard Kristen Stewart?
Yes, I do.
did you audition?
Great description.
Did you audition for that role?
Yes, I did.
And what's that phone call like where you realize, hey, I'm in the Twilight movie?
Oh, that's so huge.
You know, it was, it was. It was like, I think I got a little nervous just because the fans are real intense, you know, and it's like, boy, I better not.
Yeah, this guy
up.
Comes in and messes up the last one.
You know,
one.
I mean, I'll just get egged at the premiere or something. I don't know. I you know, it was truly a joy just to be on it. But I did audition in front of, like, cardboard versions of...
Oh, I thought I was talking about the real Kristen Stewart.
She might be, too.
How many minutes are you on screen in the Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2?
Oh, I can't reveal that. Come on.
You know, we've read the books. You know that, right?
Yeah, you have the book.
These are
I know,
all,
but they still
like
make
these
me
are
sign.
All terrible secrets no, we've never
I know.
Heard.
That's my
just
problem
tell
with
us
this.
One thing you're not supposed to tell us.
One thing I'm not supposed to tell
yes,
you. Okay.
One thing. Just pick one.
I love working with the Twilight franchise.
Oh, boo.
Go back and get in traffic again. All right.
Let me grab my bow and arrow. I got to go walk.
That's not till mid-November, but you can see J.D. Pardo on your TV with another outstanding episode of Revolution at 10 o'clock on NBC. Thanks, J.D. Good to meet you, man.
Hey, thank you so much. Take guys.
You, all week long here on K-Rock, we're giving away tickets to Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. We just did it again. Edgar Ortiz from Los Angeles. You win. Thank you so much for listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Time for Harvey Levin, TMZ.com, except it's Dax Holt because Harvey hates us and will never talk to us again, apparently.
I guess so.
Dax,
I kind of think he does hate you guys. Yeah. I don't know why he keeps throwing me over here going, no, you go talk to them.
He doesn't tell you till the last minute, does he?
He doesn't tell me like till like 3 minutes before you guys are I'm supposed to be on the air, and I'm like, all right, well, here we go.
I'll do it.
We've been talking to Harvey since long before there was a TMZ.com. What could we possibly have done?
You guys helped so much in the foundations of TMZ, and he is turning his back on you.
Turning
guys.
His back. Yep. There's a story to be written there.
Luckily, I come to you with open arms.
All right. Well, let's get some business out of the way first, because your awesome TMZ Live, which happens at 1 o'clock West Coast time, today has some very special guests. Dax, tell us who's going to be on with you.
So good, you guys. Honey Boo Boo and June are coming in today. Yeah!
Come on. Did you reinforce the floor? Holy crap. Do you have somebody to sign language to you what they're saying?
I am so excited. I don't think the room has ever been so jazzed on someone coming in. We've had some really famous people walk in the door.
You guys have big stars all the time, and up walks Honey Boo Boo, and you can't wait.
Like, the people that have brought their cameras into work today are unreal.
What are they doing in Los Angeles?
I don't know. I have no clue why they're here, but I think it might be a publicity tour. I don't really know. All I know is they're going to be walking through the doors here at like 1:30, and everyone's going to go crazy.
I'm only six, and I've already had 3 heart attacks, girlfriend.
Well, that show is a sensation. And by the way, TMZ Live brings us to the first story we wanted to cover with you today, Dax, and that is a very special phone call that you had one day last week from Lindsay Lohan. Now, was that a surprise that she called into you guys, or did you know ahead of time?
No, we got word a couple minutes before she called in, but it was unbelievable how long she talked to us for. I mean, you don't hear Lindsay Lohan doing interviews very much anymore, because she's always freaked out about, you know, what she's going to say and how everyone's going to judge her on it.
Well, she has like 25 to 50 things that she doesn't want to be asked about. You know, she's got more than most actresses or actors.
Now, what was your sense as to why she chose to call? Is it because she felt that incident, that latest incident with her mom in the back of the limo, and then she had to call her dad, 911, and the whole thing? Did she feel like that was misreported? Is that what she was calling to set the record straight?
I think she definitely wanted to clear the air about it. And I know that she kind of trusts us in a sense, because, you know, we're going to put out the correct story, and we're going to say her side, we're going to say the other people's side, but at least then she feels like she's getting an accurate representation. And she stayed on the phone for 18 minutes.
Wow.
Just talking about everything. Harvey was throwing all kinds of stuff at her, with the arrest in New York, with the fight with her mother, with the accident on PCH, and she was just answering everything.
What do you think the biggest revelation was that she...
That she hates her dad.
That she what?
Yes.
That she hates her dad.
She hates her dad.
And he is officially dead to her, is what she said.
Didn't she call him?
She called him, but the problem that she had with it was that he recorded it and released it.
Oh, yes. Sure.
He sold it. He sold her desperate plea for help, right?
Why would
that put her over the edge. She now no longer wants to talk to him, and Dina is trying to get her to do a restraining order against Michael Lohan.
Did you get the sense that you said she was answering all your questions. Is she self-aware and speaking honestly now, or was she still in the, defensive mode and I'm a victim?
No, you know, I thought she did a good job, and I think, you know, she was talking about, hey, I've messed up a lot in my life, I'm trying to rebuild my career, I'm trying to go down the straight and narrow, but things keep popping up in my life, and sometimes they pop up and they look worse to people on the outside than what's really going on, and I think that's what she was trying to explain.
Okay, but as Harvey has said many times to us back when we used to have a relationship with him, all she has to do is stay home once in a while and not be out in bars at 2 o'clock in the morning in New York so that she can run over people.
And that's absolutely true. And she said, because we asked her the same thing, she goes, look, I was going to a restaurant. Everyone always calls it a club that I was going to. I was at a restaurant, and I went in the back entrance of a restaurant, and everyone says I'm sneaking into a club.
Yeah, because she's out in the most crowded city in America at 2 o'clock in the morning trying to drive. Look, New York is tough for the soberest people to drive in.
You know, I got to be honest, though. After this interview, I kind of feel bad for her. She doesn't have anyone. She has no one to go to. If you can't even trust your own parents, who do you talk to?
Well, her parents, both of them, to me, are the worst people on the planet. Mm-hmm. I mean, she never had a chance.
Yeah. Whatever happened to Ali Lohan, by the way? Why don't we ever hear about her anymore? Isn't she?
Didn't she move to a foreign country to do modeling or something?
I don't know. I thought you might know because it seems like she's of age now that she should be on the same tragic career trajectory that her sister is. But it seems like she's pretty unscathed.
Yeah, no, that's what someone said. Someone brought her up the other day, and I think they said, "Oh, she's modeling in another foreign country."
Smart to get away from Dina and Michael.
No kidding.
Wow.
Indeed. Well, listen, we're out of time. Please go to TMZ.com for all the latest on Lindsay. Also, just late breaking news about what Hulk Hogan is going to be doing about this sex tape that's coming out and a new Kanye West flipping out story that you guys are going to love too. What time are your shows on today, Dax, for people who want to see you on the TV?
Okay, well, we got TMZ Live on at 1:30. Well, you got that on the web at 1:30, then you got it on TV at 4, and then you got TMZ on at 6:30.
Fantastic.
Well, I don't even know.
I believe it's 6.
It is 6, yeah. Tell Harvey we miss him and we used to be friends, and we'll talk to you again next week, Dax.
Bye, guys.
And tell him that he knows when the show is on and you don't. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9.
It's not like I told you about people who eat feces or something, Kevin.
Yes, it is.
It's just guys who like My Little Pony.
Yeah, that's freaky. I don't have anything to do with that.
Kevin almost lost his breakfast. Not it's just serious. Guys who watch a cartoon.
Yeah, but it's a cartoon for little girls. It's not, the same thing when Bean says
but they're
he's
not. They're not traveling around in a panel van outside elementary
school. How
do you
know what they're doing?
With a trail of Tootsie Rolls
going
to the back.
Are.
They're not. They're
I'll
just watching a show. The way you reacted, it was like I told you about cannibalism or something.
I'm taking it to the next level, which is to see what they're probably doing. And I think you described
they're
it
they're not doing anything. They're
I think
watching
you described
a show.
It perfectly.
Holy moly.
We may need to hear from some bronies in the Kevin and Bean audience to talk to you tomorrow because this is a fascinating
what do you call
subculture.
Them?
Bronies.
They're called bronies.
Wow.
Brony. Because My Little Pony.
Brony.
Right.
Guys are bros who like My Little Pony are the bronies.
You don't know, man.
I'm the only one that finds this. Repulsive?
No, well,
it's not repulsive.
It's not repulsive.
What a ridiculous reaction. They're just guys who watch a cartoon.
Oh, that's just one of the things they do, Ralph.
This
Come
is the
on.
First you've ever heard of them, right. And already you're
I
an
know
expert.
What I need to know.
You have all the
I know
deep
what I
information.
Need to know. They like Kevin, My Little Pony. That's
right.
It.
That's all you know.
What
but
if that doesn't...
That's
what if,
to extrapolate it out into sex crimes, what if, maybe overreacting a little bit.
What if Bean said he was into My Little Pony? You'd go, eh.
I still wouldn't think he was a pedophile.
Yes, you would, and you do.
I think, well, for all the other reasons, I think he's a pedophile, but not just for watching a cartoon show.
All right.
I think he's a pedophile for what he does with his kids, but I'm just
How
saying.
How dare you?
Watching a cartoon show is not indicative of any further behavior than just that.
And secondly, in my defense, they do consent. Hey, listen, there's a new Linkin Park song called I'll Be Gone, and we're going to play that for you next from their album Living Things. That's coming up right after Ralph's Showbiz Beat here at 8:58.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Taken 2 just kept Argo out of the number one slot this week. $22.5 million made Taken 2 number one. Argo right behind it with a little over $20 million in its debut. Went to see it with the wife this weekend, and boy, did we enjoy that movie. Very entertaining. A lot of my Red State cohorts were bandied about in that film.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it turns out Ben Affleck came to see an early screening of Kevin Smith's Red State and said, boy, there's some good actors in there. Let me use all of them, except for Ralph Garman.
Kevin Smith probably said, you want this guy? And he said, eh.
Carrie Bechet, my movie daughter, is great in it, and Michael Parks shows up a little bit. John Goodman's in it, so a lot of... former Red Staters are in our
You've got the same haircut and the same jacket from the 70s, and he still didn't use you?
My haircut and jacket is obviously from the 80s, sir. Thank
I'm sorry.
You.
Didn't mean to insult you.
Alan Arkin is brilliant in the film, and Affleck's great in it. Just Victor Garber from Alias, who played Sydney's dad in that.
Love.
Wonder how he got the gig. Think maybe Jennifer Garner made a phone call?
You will hire my friend Victor, Ben. He's going to be big trouble at home.
Sinister was third in its debut, made $18.3 million. Hotel Transylvania, and here comes the boom, rounded out the top five. Pitch Perfect, Frankenweenie, Looper, Seven Psychopaths, made $4.3 million in its debut, good enough to make it number nine. And then The Perks of Being a Wallflower, rounding out the top ten. Good news, TV fans. We all dodged a bullet today. NBC has announced that they have already canceled Dane Cook's sitcom,
before it ever reaches the air.
Yay!
Not even once. They show crap once. Don't they?
Yes, they do, usually. They ordered 6 episodes of Next Caller, which is the name of the sitcom. 4 episodes have been filmed. NBC looked at it and said, oh, okay, enough. We surrender. No need to make those final 2, and we're not going to show these 4 that we have here. NBC claims they didn't like the creative direction of the comedy starring Dane Cook. Maybe because it didn't go in the direction of comedy. I'm sensing that was the biggest problem with it.
I do have Mr. Cook's statement if you'd like to hear it.
Oh, sure.
Hey, everybody, what's up? Dane Cook here in the house at the MTV Movie Awards. What's up? What's up? Hey, you know what I hate? When you eat an ice cream cone and it's all, like, cold, and you're like, ah, ah, ah. Right. And you're like, yep. Why didn't you warn me that's so cold? Right. And he's like, it's ice cream, dude. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, man, but chicks don't do that because they use a spoon.
Right.
Ah, what's up? Su-fi. Boo. MySpace.
Good point. All excellent points. Well, the Lord opens a window when he closes a door, or whatever that crappy saying is. But we dodged one bullet with Dane Cook's show. Now we have to try to dodge the other bullet. Tyra Banks apparently is developing a sitcom.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
She will be in?
Of course.
I don't believe so, Lisa. What? It's about her high school experience. So I believe she is creating it and producing it, but I don't believe she'll be starring in it. It's about her teenage years when she was going to high school. What a difficult time she had, Lisa, in high school. She was ostracized. She was picked on. She was skinny, gawky, and had a large forehead. And that's why the sitcom is called Five Head. Tyra says in high school, if you had glasses, you're a four eyes. If you had braces, you're a metal mouth. But if you had my forehead, you're a five head.
Isn't that insane?
Oh.
Was that not crazy?
Oh, Tyra. Oh. Oh, is there anything you can do?
Here's the thing. If a lot of people are ugly in high school.
Yes.
And are outcasts.
Yes.
And then they grow up and they're ugly and outcasts as adults. When you turn into a Victoria's Secret supermodel and you're
right.
ultra rich, stop complaining.
Get
right.
over it.
You won.
You won.
Right. Interesting story. One of our listeners, by the way, went to high school with Tyra. Let me read you this. I won't read her name in case to embarrass her. But I went to her high school, her all-girls Catholic high school. I know how horrible those can be, but come on. It's not like she was pushed into lockers. Besides, ours was the best one out of all the all-girl high schools. Interesting high school story of hers, though. She was up for prom queen.
Oh, really?
Oh, what a horrible high school experience she must have had.
She said she had a bad time.
Oh, she was bullied.
Her five head was a prom queen nominee? When they announced the winner, she had already taken upon herself to walk up on the stage and accept the crown. Problem? They didn't call her name when they announced the winner.
You liar!
Thanks for sharing that with us, Diana. I'll give you that much name. She adds, also fire beer mug.
Hey! So, hey!
The rallying cry.
Yeah. Seriously. What's that going to happen? No. What are we doing? We're waiting for the holidays? Are we waiting, to give him a parting gift? Is it some sort of bonus we're waiting to get? I don't understand. I'm confused now. I'm just confused.
I guarantee he's not getting a bonus.
But like, here's a little something, you know, while you're out of work, here's a little something to tide you over or something. What are we doing? What's the plan?
I would enjoy firing Bergman more if it were closer to the holidays. I think that would be worth it. At this point, it's already October. Let's hang on until at least Thanksgiving and then let him go when it hurts the most.
We go after the holidays. We do January, right? Is that the plan? There was a plan, right? Because then the holidays are over, and we haven't ruined his holidays. I mean, let's not be Scrooge about it.
January's a long time. I wanted to ruin his holidays.
Yeah.
January's a long time from now.
We'll talk about it.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Penny Marshall, former actress, movie director. She is 69 years old today. Tanya Roberts of That 70s Show and Charlie's Angels and the Bond film A View to a Kill. But most importantly, Sheena, Queen of the Jungle. I mean, you're right. You with me, fellas? Are you with me?
Absolutely.
Yeah, she's 56.
Kevin's got to be grossed out by that somehow, though, right?
Ah, it's repulsive. She was in the jungle. Oh, she has 2 E's in her name.
She's a grown man.
She's a rapist.
My Little Pony.
Stacy Peralta, documentary filmmaker. Gave us Dogtown and Z-Boys and Riding Giants. He is 55 years old today. Vanessa Marcel, 44 years old. And actor Dominic West from The Wire and Rockstar is 43. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
DirecTV Red Zone channel host Andrew Siciliano, also, of course, on the NFL Network's NFL Total Access, in studio with us right now. Hi, Andrew. How are you, man?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very Here's good. What Andrew tweeted yesterday, and this shows you how this shows you the changing fortunes of the NFL. A week ago, the Texans were rolling, the Packers were in trouble, the Jets were dead, the Bills were horrible, the 49ers were unbeatable, and the Patriots were unstoppable. What a difference a week makes, huh?
I mean, forget about a week ago. That was just Saturday morning. Think about that, right? And A-Rod was a Hall of Famer,
yeah,
and all those things. It's... And I always joke, and it sounds like a cop out. Anything you think, you know, you don't know. But it's true.
That's the fun of watching sports, is that you can never tell what's going to happen. It's a big surprise.
Not only can you never tell what's going to happen, so much of the stuff that happened yesterday would make no sense compared to last week. I mean, the 49ers had come off two games in which they beat, granted it was the Jets and the Bills, but they won 79-3 collectively. Yeah. They were the first team in NFL history to have 300 yards on the ground and 300 yards in the air in one game. Had it never been done in any game at any time.
Wow.
And then they get beaten 26-3 after talking all week about how the Giants stole their Super Bowl last year in the rain. And it's the third time they faced them in 13 months. It's not as if the Giants are going to do anything that different.
Right.
And they get destroyed. At home. Destroyed. It just makes no sense. The Bills. Look, I don't think Arizona's that good. I'm sorry.
They're
they have a good defense.
You're right.
They're a different team at home. They still don't have a quarterback.
Anytime Skelton comes in.
Well, he came in for a couple of plays. He got him in field goal position, and he had it set up to win. How does Jay Feely hit a 61-yard field goal, then miss a 30-something?
It was tipped.
Yard field goal. Still,
I think
it doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense.
Let me ask you this question on the it doesn't make sense tip. Is every team good enough to beat every other team at any given day?
As cliched as
it is a cliche,
sounds.
But is it true?
The Browns were what, up 14-0 on the Giants last week. Granted, they still lost big. They gave up 40-something. But, you know, you don't throw a pick six at the end of the second quarter. They go into the half with the lead. Maybe it's a different game.
Yeah.
I mean, look, again, it's a cliche. They're all pros. They all get paid, blah, 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 blah. Sure, any team is good enough to beat any team.
And you could say the same thing about, I mean, the Packers losing to Indianapolis, blowing that huge lead the week before, and then they came out last night and they looked like they could beat any team that's ever played the game.
Against a team in the Texans that had not only been undefeated, but we had already put in the Super Bowl and said that they were the most complete team. Maybe not the best team, but they were the most complete team in the National Football League. Period. The Packers go on the road. They lose. They were up 21-3 on a rookie quarterback on a team that won two games last year. 21-3 at the half. And that rookie quarterback, and it was a great story with their coach in the hospital, and he's fighting leukemia and all those great things. It was the emotional story of the year in football.
Right.
And they come back and they win that game. It doesn't make any sense. Look, the Raiders game yesterday. I said before the day that there wasn't a legitimate, tangible statistic, and granted, they're statistics, but you could not make one legitimate argument as for the Raiders winning the game in Atlanta over the Falcons, and yet they almost did. I mean, there wasn't a I always like to say that the word arguable is the most useless word in the English language. I can argue I'm an astronaut. It's a really bad argument.
Yeah, you're not one.
Right. But I can argue it.
Sure.
Some people think that implicit in the word is the idea that it's a reasonable argument.
There's something there, yeah.
Right. Okay. You could not make a single argument that the Raiders were going to win that game yesterday. Not a single argument. Yet they were winning and they almost pulled it off.
They almost won. Explain to folks who didn't see that game, because there is a lot. Unless you're on the Red Zone channel, it's easy to miss some of the highlights of the NFL weekend. But explain what happened at the end of that Raiders game and how Oakland has found yet another incredible new way to lose.
Creative, too. Now, I think they did this a couple of years ago, too, where you're talking about the timeout.
Yes, talking about the timeout.
I think Tom Cable, their old coach, did it as well. They call a timeout. You try to ice the kicker.
Right.
Ice, you know, freeze him out, you know, make him
think about it. He's just
about
to kick. You wait till the last second.
Timeout.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it didn't work because the guy hit the kick. So 55.
So the timing was off.
The timing was slightly off. And some people think that some kickers will tell you it actually helps you because – indoors maybe it doesn't matter, and that was indoors yesterday. But outdoors, you get a read on the wind. It's like you're getting a practice shot.
Yeah,
right?
You kick it after the whistle, but you can see what happens. Yeah. You can see how you did.
Right.
Yeah.
Like imagine stepping up to the tee.
Sure.
You're playing golf. Hey, can I hit one? See how it goes?
Just give it a try.
Right. give me an easy one. Now others will tell you that you know, so much of kicking is mental. that you put so much into that first one, you have to kick it thinking it's going to count. Because what if they don't call time?
Right, exactly.
So, and there's the psych-out game, but it, more often
right,
than not,
but what happened,
work.
Because it's the Raiders, is the timeout was called. The Falcons kicker
missed
the kick
it.
And then got an opportunity to go back and do it again. And, of course, it
Correct.
Went through and he won the game.
Correct.
That's what's beautiful
and
about
he
that.
He won the game the second time.
I got to tell you, the Raiders, and even Raiders fans will tell you this, they really are very creative about how they managed to lose.
Which is what makes them so much fun.
Yes.
I mean, look, I was brought up a Browns fan. I've said this, that they find creative ways every week.
It's difficult to just lose every time. You have to be creative about it, and then you're interested.
It's what makes Hollywood. Yeah. You know, you're watching your favorite show. All right, well, listen, I know he's going to live. Like when you watch 24, for example.
Right.
It's why Homeland's so much better than 24. When you're watching 24, and Kiefer Sutherland is standing on top of the nuclear bomb, and it's going 5, 4, 3, and they're in Northridge, right?
Right.
Right? And the thing's about to blow, and boom, coming up next week. Well, you know it doesn't blow up, or there's no show.
Yeah, there's
right?
that.
If
sure.
the bomb blows up, they don't come back next week, right? Because everyone is dead. He was sitting on top of a nuclear bomb. So right. it's, all right, well, how are they going to get out of this? And that's right. kind of what, at times, the Raiders are, and the Browns are, for that matter, is what creative way will they find to lose this game?
Yes, indeed. Andrew Siciliano was here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's kind enough to offer some time up for us today. We got a lot of other games to talk about. We got to talk about your buddy, RG3, and how the Redskins won yesterday. Got to talk about the Patriots and what a game that was. Chips, Miami Dolphins, so much more to cover. And we'll preview the Monday night game as well when we come back with our guests right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. If I did the what Andrew does every Sunday on the DirecTV Red Zone, I'd still be asleep right now. I'll tell you that. I think I'd be in bed until Wednesday, even if I did do that.
You couldn't do it without taking a nap halfway through.
What time do you guys get here? You guys get here like at 3, right?
No.
4?
No. No. We start at 5:30. I get here at 5:29.
All right. When I did mornings, I did that too. Sometimes I got here at 5:32.
Yeah, well, sometimes.
It doesn't matter.
But Andrew is not only up and on the Kevin and Bean Show today, but you can see him this afternoon at 4 on the NFL Total Access. What are you doing on the program today? What do we have?
Well, Monday's always big. We have our coaches. We have Brian Billick and Steve Mariucci. We have Darren Sharper and Heath Evans. We got a preview of tonight's game in San Diego. You know, I think we're gonna do something like the XO thing, like the big touchscreen thing where you look at the players
right.
and you move them around and
right.
all 22, and it's like a video game thing. On the Redskins and how what they're running with RG3,
offense, yeah.
Black Jesus, as a teammate called him yesterday. he has risen from a concussion. And show how they're running Baylor's offense. It's Mike Shanahan gets all this credit for adapting, but if you look at it, and it's got a lot of Shanahan sprinkled in, it's basically the college stuff they ran at Baylor. It's
wow.
a pistol formation, which is what UCLA tried to run a couple of years ago, which is it's a shotgun with the running back standing behind the quarterback.
Straight behind him, right.
Which gives you more options to run the option.
Right.
And it's no one's ever run it this long, at least not recently.
Has it never been
NFL.
Successful? Most of the time.
It's successful in college football.
That's what I was going to say.
Nevada runs it. It's what Colin Kaepernick ran.
I don't know that guy.
Who's now the backup with the 49ers.
Okay.
It is some different stuff, let's say.
But there's a lot of stuff in college that does not cut it in the pros.
Sure. And there's stuff that you say never will work in the pros, but now is. And he is finding a way, they are, Shanahan and RG3, to make it work with the Redskins. And I think it's a legitimate question. How long can it work?
Yeah.
But it's
very exciting what's happening with the Redskins,
yeah.
though, this year. Very exciting. What about the Jets, who, as you mentioned, have been counted out as dead, and
yeah.
now all of a sudden they're tied for first.
They are in first, actually.
What?
If the playoffs
in first.
Were to start today,
that's not possible.
The Jets would host a playoff game because look, it's they're all 3-3, but the Jets, by way of being 2-0 in the division,
mm-hmm.
and that's the first tiebreaker, head to head in the or division, then head to head. So the Jets right now are in first. Ladies and gentlemen, your first place, New York Jets.
Not this year.
Hilarious.
And that's another example
way.
Of how you were dead yesterday,
yep.
and now you're in first because the Patriots somehow blew that lead in Seattle. Look, the Jets on Monday night, they hung in there with the Texans. But the only thing we talked about, the only thing we have talked about, is Sanchez is so bad.
Yeah.
You
got to
put in Tebow. But if you put in Tebow, you may have to fire the coach and the GM because it shows that they're abject failures. I mean, that's how deep
yeah.
this has gotten. And now they're in first. And they should have beaten the Colts. They're at home, and they're a better team than the Colts.
Right.
But just the turn of events that you don't know every single week what you don't know. I mean, example, yesterday. So Mark Sanchez, I'm not making any sense here. That's why. That's how much it's confusing.
All right, regroup.
All right, Mark Sanchez, through five games.
This is a show where I'm allowed to speak, so you're doing fine.
Had the lowest completion percentage of any quarterback through five games since Jamarcus Russell.
Did it with the Raiders.
Purple drank.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
That guy.
Yep.
And they're in first.
First place.
Yeah.
Crazy. What happened to, by the way, and I'm not at all comfortable with what's been going on with Richard Sherman for the Seahawks, who has been
openly. Why are you comfortable?
Because he's mocking Tom Brady. And I think that we were lucky to win that game. And I think that you don't mock the Patriots because they've won three Super Bowls in the last 10 years.
Listen, you feel free to gloat. All right.
I'm not gloating. The only time I'm telling you, I'm not comfortable with him mocking Tom Brady.
For those who don't know, check out my Twitter feed. It's on there. Richard Sherman, a guy who picked off Tom Brady yesterday, a defensive back for the Seahawks, posted a Twitter. What was the photo? It was a photo of him almost yelling at Brady after the game on the field. But what did he write in it?
He told me and Earl to see him after the game when they win. I found him after. And then he shows a picture of him basically screaming in Tom Brady's face. And then he went on to talk about the Patriots. Patriots fans, mad, LOL. Talking about Super Bowl rings, what have you done lately? You're 3-3, LOL. Don't mock the Patriots, Richard Sherman. Look, you're a Seahawk, right?
Yeah, take
a little respect.
Know where you are.
Bean, when are you going to play him again? The Super Bowl. If you get there, right?
Yeah.
So talk all you want. You're not seeing him anytime soon. He might be retired the next time the schedule puts these two teams in the same field.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, look, you won the game. I love the Seahawks, and I love our quarterback, and I think they played great yesterday. They played as well as they had to beat the New England Patriots. But winning is enough. You don't have to now go out and be an a-hole about it.
You know, he called out NFL Network, too.
Did he?
Big time.
What did he say?
He said, you go, well, it's the classic, you guys picked against us, you don't respect us garbage. But he actually, I think he might even be on today. He better be on today because he said like four times in his postgame, I want to go on NFL Network.
All right.
Yeah.
Fine. Good enough. Denver Broncos, San Diego Chargers.
You know, Philip Rivers, speaking of NFL Network, came on Total Access this summer and told me that he was happy that Peyton was in the division and he wasn't beating his chest or talking junk, even though it was Philip. He said, I want the challenge. I want him in the division. So tonight, you get your shot. And actually, the Chargers against Peyton Manning-led teams, the Colts most notably, have done really, really well. I think like 4-1, 5-1 against Peyton. So granted, I don't think they win tonight. I think the Broncos win tonight. But, you know, hey, this is what you want. You get two respected quarterbacks, one saying, I want the other one.
Yeah.
Not, hey,
yeah,
it's nice to see him. No, I want the other one.
Right.
It's
a sexual
good game.
Way or no?
Philip has seven children, I
okay,
think, or six
right
children.
Yeah.
So I don't
probably
think
not
that's what we're getting at.
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, teach them. Yeah. I mean, you said it, not me.
I'm
right?
Just checking.
Okay.
What?
Well, after 6 weeks, it couldn't be a more exciting season, could it, Andrew? It couldn't be closer in so many of these divisions, outside of the Falcons, who have like a 20-game lead on everybody else in their division.
They won the NFC South last year.
I think they essentially did, right?
You pointed it out, too, even with the baseball over the weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, they're
crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I went over to watch the UFC with some friends who are Yankee fans, and they were just – it was in the 12th inning or something when I got over there, and they made me watch the half of an inning.
Okay.
And they were just sobbing. They were just like,
they were sobbing.
Sucks. Well, because they came all the way back from 4-0. That
did you survive?
Did you survive
watching half?
I watched half an inning.
Wow, congratulations.
It was like three up, three down. So that was it. That's enough baseball for me for the rest of the
time. What happened in hockey this weekend?
Shut up.
Andrew, you should have been here Friday. The Stanley Cup was here at this time on Friday.
No, see, that's cool. I would have liked that. Really?
Yeah.
You had it in the studio?
We did.
Yeah.
He
was here with Luke
with
Robitaille. Yeah.
I did, and then I asked what tests I needed to take for my
that
health.
Thing is filthy, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, it is.
That thing is filthy.
Every that's what the cup was saying about Kevin, too, by the way.
If that thing could write a book,
yep.
The stories I have heard about the Stanley Cup,
yeah,
it is filthy.
There's no shortage of fluids.
No, plenty of fluids have touched that.
Right, it is like sure. San Fernando Valley filthy.
DirecTV Red Zone channel on Sundays. It's not too late to get it for the rest of the season at NFL Total Access on the NFL Network this afternoon at 4. Andrew Siciliano on Twitter at Andrew Siciliano. Thanks for coming in, man. We enjoyed it.
I made no sense, but thank you.
Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat on a Monday show. What's going on, Ralph?
Because it's Monday, we always look at the top. Hello, is this thing on?
Yeah, check. Sounds weird to me. Here we go.
Better?
It's because it's Monday. We'd look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Taken 2, just edging Argo out for the number one slot this weekend. $22.5 million made. Taken 2. again the number one movie in America. Argo was right behind it with $20.1 million. Then Sinister, Hotel Transylvania, and Here Comes the Boom rounding out the top five. $12 million is what Here Comes the Boom made. I want to talk to the people who went to see Here Comes the Boom. I would like to have a conversation with them. I want to know what about that film made them say, of all my entertainment choices this weekend, I am going to drive my car to a movie theater. I'm going to pay money, and then I'm going to go into that theater. I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to watch Here Comes the Boom.
On a weekend, Kevin James, if there's anyone funnier than Kevin James, I want name.
I got a whole list right here. I got a whole list. Carrot Top, Dane Cook.
On a weekend where there's
Tyra Banks,
a real
whole
UFC
list of
fight.
Names here. There's a lot of things going on this weekend.
Yeah.
That were none of which were Here Comes the Boom. Perfect Pitch, Frank and Weenie, Looper, Seven Psychopaths, The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office. By the way, Looper only made $6.3 million this weekend.
Unacceptable.
Why are more people going to see that?
I don't know. It's such a great movie.
Great film. The good news in show business, however, comes to us today via Deadline.com. They report that NBC has decided to call it quits on their Dane Cook sitcom Next Caller.
Oh, yeah.
Just wasn't bringing in the ratings, Ralph?
They haven't aired it yet, Kevin. They had an order for 6 episodes. They filmed 4 of them. NBC looked at them and said, this is unwatchable.
Are you kidding?
It's certainly unairable. We're going to shut this whole thing down right now. No, you all go home. You all go home right now. You leave.
You don't come back. You don't see a network just bail on something like that. Just throw
Rarely.
The money away.
Rarely.
They put the Playboy Club on the air.
The Playboy Club was Mad Men compared to this thing. Dane Cook played a wacky shock jock who is teamed up with a feminist female co-host on his radio show.
I'd love to get a look at that
and
pilot.
He was not happy, and the sparks flew between these two. I'll tell you that much, my friends.
So you're telling me, Ralph, if I understand correctly, that Betty White's Off Their Rockers made it to the air, yet somehow the new Dane Cook show was unairable.
Off My Rockers was Modern Family compared to Dane Cook. So that's good news. Lindsay Lohan finally has stepped forward and told us who she is endorsing in the upcoming presidential election.
All right, let's add her to the list.
Lindsay Lohan told reporters that she's voting for Mitt Romney. Unemployment is very important for now. So as of now, I think my vote is Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney says no.
Oh, too bad, Mitt. You can't. Can't pick and choose. Apparently there's more to her support for Romney. She also added, it's a long story, but you're going to have to wait for that.
Nope.
Oh, I'm on pins and needles, Lindsay. How am I going to sleep tonight until I hear the reasoning behind your Mitt Romney support?
I think instead of another presidential debate like we're having tomorrow night, that we need to have celebrities on debating their candidates.
That would be awesome.
Wouldn't it be amazing if Lindsay Lohan had to debate like Fergie or somebody who was for Obama, and that's how we got to decide?
Lindsay would start by saying, unemployment is very important for now.
For now.
So as of now, I think my vote is Mitt Romney. That's her actual quote. By the way, if I'm not mistaken, Lindsay has been... fact-checked, is not registered to vote.
Not registered to vote.
That's what I believe to be the case.
Mr. Romney, you did have a comment, by the way, if you'd like to hear it.
Sure.
One last thought, you guys. When I was a boy, I used to think that becoming rich and becoming famous would make me happy. Right. Boy, was I right.
Well, there you go.
Hey.
That's all that matters.
Ralph, you have time for a caller who wants to take umbrage with something you've said on the showbiz?
I'd love to, yes. All right.
Let's go to Tony. Hi, Tony.
Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to let Ralph know he's not giving Here Comes the Boom a fair shake.
You went to see Here Comes the Boom?
Yeah, I mean, come on. There's Selma Hayek in there. There's some MMA fighting. Kevin James is kind of funny, but there's Selma Hayek.
Yeah, right. You know, I can see Selma Hayek in a lot of other places other than Here Comes the Boom.
Yeah, I know, but it was pretty good. There was some MMA stuff, some of the MMA
guys. Once again, I can see MMA in other sources
other than... There was an MMA fight this weekend.
Here Comes the Boom.
I know, that was a good fight, but still there was Selma Hayek.
All right, Tony.
Okay,
we got
Tony. Thanks for all your salient points. You swayed me. Now I believe Here Comes the Boom's a good movie.
He didn't even mention Selma Hayek was in it, by the way.
He didn't, nor MMA.
You know a movie's bad when it's Selma Hayek is the selling point. That's it.
You know a movie's bad when they want you to believe that Kevin James is a love interest of Selma Hayek's.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, there's that.
Yeah. While we're talking about Lindsay Lohan, by the way, she has contacted Andre Balaz. He's the guy who owns the Chateau Marmont.
Right.
And she's apologizing for the fact that she never paid her $46,000 bill. She's explaining to him that she didn't know that there was an outstanding bill.
What?
That's what the problem was.
She didn't know.
No. All the charges for cigarettes and candles and the minibar that she didn't pay was incurred while she was filming Liz and Dick. And she thought they were covering it all. And so she apologized. And she would like to be invited back to her favorite hotel. No word on whether he will welcome her back. She's been blacklisted from the hotel. She's been banned.
Did she? Oh, I was going to ask. Is she going to pay it? Did she say?
She didn't mention that. She just said she wants to come back.
Wow.
So we'll have to wait and see.
I'll go back if they don't charge me.
Maybe Lindsay's waiting for a big tax refund from Mitt Romney, from President Mitt Romney, before she pays off that bill. And while we're talking about showbiz and politics crossing paths, Romney famously in the first debate said that he indeed would cut government funding to PBS and Big Bird would be out of a job, even though he liked Big Bird. He said he liked Big Bird.
Yeah.
But Big Bird would be out of a job. So they're starting to respond, the people that he's threatening.
Big Bird's responding?
Yes. They are planning. PBS supporters are planning a Million Muppet March on Washington, D.C.'s National Mall on November the 3rd. The Million Muppet March will be people, I F you not, carrying puppets marching on the National Mall on November 3rd. Apparently, there's a Los Angeles animation executive named Michael Belavia. He bought the MillionMuppetMarch.com website while watching the debate, and he discovered that another man named Chris Meacham had already launched a Facebook page with the same name. They got together, and they were on the phone, and they planned the protest. So November 3rd, there will be the Million Muppet March in Washington.
Forget the economy. Forget foreign policy. Forget wars.
Well,
what are we doing with Big Bird?
Well, I know unemployment is of importance as of now.
As of now.
I heard that from Lindsay Lohan.
And that is that's election day, so they're actually doing it on election day to draw attention to their cause, right?
Wow, it's a little cutting a little close.
No kidding.
I'd like to see Oscar the Grouch out there a couple days early banging his trash can. So,
what if I vote first thing in the morning? I don't see him.
Get some reaction. What do you think the over under is on how many Muppets actually
under 100?
Oh, stop.
Under 50.
Oh, look. Look, you if think there's 50 guys there, they got two hands, right? So that's one Muppet in each hand. That's easily 100.
You think there's going to be more?
Absolutely.
1,000?
I think there's 1,000 Muppets.
Anywhere near a million?
We've already forgotten that debate, okay? There's another new debate that we're going to obsess over tomorrow.
So I haven't forgotten the plight of Big Bird. Maybe you have.
Nobody's
they're living in your big house on your island. I care about the little felt people.
Nobody is going to even remember it in November.
Oh, they are if the Million Muppet March happens.
Elmo doesn't like Paul Ryan.
Can't wait for that.
Manamana.
We're all set.
Manamana. We are all set. Today's celebrity birthdays, Dominic West of The Wire and Rockstar is 43 years old today.
Of Wire and what?
Don't say it, please.
Kevin and Bean's Rockstar.
Thank you.
43 years old today. Vanessa Marcil is 44 years old. Stacy Peralta, former pro skateboarder, turned documentarian. Made such movies as Dogtown and Z-Boys and Riding Giants, 55 years old today. Actress Tanya Roberts from That 70s Show and Charlie's Angels and I think Tahitian Village. I think she's a big fan of Tahitian Village, too. She's 57 years old today. Actress turned director Penny Marshall is 69. And Lee Iacocca, the man who gave us the Mustang, celebrates his 88th
birthday. And some good things, too, though,
How
right?
dare you, sir? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, tomorrow morning, an all-new show. We've got Mike Birbiglia, funny man Mike Birbiglia on the program. We have Bean's Death Corner. We have Sally Ann Salsano, who is doing a show on Spike TV called Tattoo Nightmares.
Yeah. You know what else she brought us, you know?
No.
She's one of the creators of Jersey Shore.
Oh, yeah. Oh wow. Yeah. Wow.
No, that's what I'm saying.
We need to block the door from LaQuisha. Make sure she doesn't get any, have a shot at her. And we're going to talk to My Little Pony pedophiles tomorrow morning.
They're not pedophiles.
They're fans. All-new Kevin and Bean show. We'll see you tomorrow.